Praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for another opportunity. God, the Lord has given me to come and share with you today precious words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised. This is Friday, praise God, October the 15th, and I am Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God, declaring once again that Christ is the answer. He's the answer to all of our problems. Doesn't matter whether they're large or small. Praise God. My Bible tells me there's nothing too hard for the Lord, but all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. And I believe that God can do abundantly above all that we ever could consider, because Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the answer to every one of our problems. All we need to do is just trust Him. Praise God. Trust and obey. Praise God. The song said there is no other way. But I do have a word. I have a word from the Lord just for you today on this Friday. And we're looking today at the book of Luke. The gospel according to Luke is what we're looking at today. 7th chapter. And we're going to look at that 36th verse. Just read a few verses there. And we'll cover more of this chapter as we go along. But the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. And I do encourage you once again, look with me. Praise God. Don't take my word nor anyone else's word. But what thus says the Lord, you need to look for yourself, and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to, praise God, to interpret God's word for you. Amen. Praise God. Luke 7, 36. And it reads, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Let's bow here for a word of prayer. Father, we bless you today. Lord, we thank you for this another opportunity to come to share your word with your people. I pray, Father, the anointing of the Holy Spirit might be upon the speaker as well as the hearers today, that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that for which you have sent it. And Lord God, I pray, Father God, that the listeners, Lord, that they might have spiritual ears today to hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, praise God, amen, and praise God. Now, we want to speak from these words. Paying our love debt to Christ. I was kind of trying to get my subjects together. I was kind of caught between two different subjects. But we're going to go with paying our love debt to Christ. Paying our love debt to Christ. And this is going to be a two-part. It's going to be two parts. We're going to do one today, and Lord's will, we'll do one tomorrow. Praise God. We'll kind of book them in together and give you a chance to maybe look at this one first. And on tomorrow, God's will, if I wake up, I'll do one on Saturday. Amen. But we're talking about paying our love debt to Christ. And in Paul's letter to the Romans, praise God, he made this statement when he wrote that letter to the Romans, that we should owe no man anything but to love one another. That was Romans 13 and 8 that Paul penned those words, that we should owe no man anything but to love one another. But now, before we can pay our debt to mankind, we must first of all pay our debt to Christ. In other words, we owe a debt to Christ. And we have to keep that in consideration, first of all. Praise God. For John, 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him. That means Christ now, because he first loved us. We have a debt that we must pay to the Lord. But now, we also are due to show and pay a debt to mankind. But God first. Now, every human being is indebted to the Lord. For what, Pastor? What? For loving us so much that he gave his life on that old rugged cross for our sins. Praise God, to take care of our sin problems. In John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but will have what? But have everlasting life. We all are familiar with that passage of scripture. But now we owe a love debt to the Lord, and we need to pay. And we will pay. We won't get around it. We must pay our love debt to the Lord. This is the debt that every one of us, no exemption here, all of us now, every one of us going to pay. Either you're going to pay it in this life, or you're going to pay it in the life to come. But now, one thing we can be sure of, praise God, we can be sure of the fact that we will pay. We will pay this debt. Praise God. Now, you know, when we say things like that, most people will say now, you know, they'll ask the question, well, when, Pastor, when and what did I do? What did I do to incur this debt that you're talking about? Well, you'd have to go to Genesis 2 and 17 to get a clear picture of the debt that we owe to the Lord. Genesis 2:17, praise God, it says now there in that scripture there, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now, these are God's words here. He's giving instructions to our first parents. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's God's word to our first parents right there. Because now, if you go to Ezekiel, if you look at Ezekiel, the 18th chapter and verse 4, that latter part of that one verse, it says there, the soul that sent it shall die. Now, the agreement between Adam and Eve and God from the beginning was that they were to obey his word, or suffer the death penalty. Praise God, the death penalty. And our first parents, basically, I like to look at it in terms of they signed a contract with God, praise God, to obey. And they reneged on the very first payment. Didn't get the first payment off. Ain't really reneged. And then what they do? They handed down the judgment to their children. Who are the children of Adam and Eve? Well, that's you and that's me. So the judgment has been handed down to me and you. And we all owe a love debt, praise God, to the Lord. It ain't no if and but about that. We owe to the Lord. The sentence of death was pronounced upon all mankind. For what, Pastor? For the sins of Adam and Eve. For God loved us so much now. But that's what I love about God loved us so much, though, that he adorned himself, God himself, in a human body, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, paid our sin debt on the cross. And all we have to do now is to acknowledge him. The Bible says in all thy ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. That's all we got to do is acknowledge him, acknowledge what he has done on the cross, and then personally receive our sin payment through faith in him and our forgiveness. We must receive our forgiveness. Now, in this two-part study that we're going to do here today and tomorrow, we're going to examine the connection. We're going to examine the connection between love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness, as told by Dr. Luke himself. Amen. He contrasts, in this text we're looking at, this chapter, he contrasts the actions of a sinner who anointed the feet of Jesus with her valuable perfume, and that of a self-righteous Pharisee named Simon. Okay, we're going to look at these two, who showed the Lord no love, showed him no respect at all. What are we going to do here now? What Luke is doing, he's contrasting. The Lord is doing through Luke, that is, he's contrasting the actions of a sinner woman, who anointed the feet of Jesus with her valuable perfume. And then we're going to look at that of a self-righteous Pharisee here named Simon. Praise God again. He showed the Lord no love. He showed him no respect at all. So now let's begin, first of all, by looking at verse 36 of that Luke 7. Luke 7, and we're looking at verse 36. Let's read one. We're going to go down the line there. Praise God. And remember now, this is just part one. This is our opening here. Verse 36 now. It says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. One of the Pharisees now asked Christ to come dine with him, and Christ went to the Pharisee's house, sat down at meat. Now, so Christ being invited, breaking bread in the Pharisee's house. Praise God. He accepted the invitation, sat down at the table with all these other guests that were invited. Now, according to Luke, this is the third time a Pharisee, religious leader, scholar, so to speak, the first time, or third time, I mean, a Pharisee has invited Christ to come and dine with him. And each time, Christ accepted the invitation. Each time. And you'll find those other two occasions, besides this one here we're looking at now, in Luke 11, 37. And then you can look at Luke 14, 1. You'll find those situations where these religious leaders invited him to come and dine with them. Now, and although in each of these cases, Christ knew that they were his enemies. Keep that in mind. He knew that this was a trap. He knew that all the time. And their intentions were less than honorable. Oh, less than honorable. Christ knew that. But yet now he accepted their invitation. Anyway, they were hoping to catch some words out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Praise God. Eventually, kill him. That was their ultimate goal, is to kill him. Their true feelings about him, Christ, that is, how they really, these religious leaders, the true feeling, their true feelings about Christ is kind of summed up. Christ sums them up himself in Luke 7. If you look at Luke 7, 7th chapter of Luke, flip over there quickly, and look at 34, 7 and 34. Christ himself, he tells us exactly how they felt about him. In that 34th verse, it says, Christ says, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, they say, talking about the Pharisee, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. That was their mindset about Christ. They called him a drunk. They called him a sinner. They called Christ a lowlife who hung out with the nobodies. This is what they really thought of him. Because, of course, now Christ knew this. He knows all things. But now, after knowing all this, he still agreed to come and to dine with them. Praise God. He was getting ready to speak truth to power, this so-called power that they thought they had. But Christ is going to lay some truth on them. Amen? Praise God. He felt that even our enemies, praise God, they need a little truth too. That's why Christ agreed to go, because he felt that the enemies were in darkness and they needed some light. Amen. It's their only hope. It's their only hope. The religious leaders yesterday and today who think they are so knowledgeable. But Christ, praise God, he went to all people and shared this great truth. So now, this entire incident was set before Christ. It was set to be so before Christ even took himself a body. I mean, this was already in the makings before he dwelt among us. It is a major teaching moment that we have here as Christ communicates and demonstrates the truth of love and forgiveness. This is what he's fixing to do. He's going to demonstrate to these religious leaders, praise God, the truth of love, what love and forgiveness is all about. Praise God. So now let's look a little further. Let's go back to Luke 7 now. We're going to take the next verse, verse 37. Christ is getting ready to lay some heavy knowledge upon these wannabe knowledgeable religious leaders. Let's look at Luke 7, 37. It says, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. A woman in the city, a sinner. When she knew that Jesus was dining with them, praise God, she went to the house and brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, all of a sudden now, here's this woman, this uninvited guest. She shows up. Boom, there she is. But actually now, she wasn't uninvited because she was invited. She was invited by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Christ invited her. Yes, he did. She is the object lesson here. She is the object lesson for them yesterday, and praise God for us today. This is for us today. She's the object lesson of the debt of love that we owe to the Lord. The debt, she's gonna give us an example. She's gonna demonstrate, praise God, the debt of love that we owe to the Lord for his forgiveness. Now, Simon the Pharisee and his guests, yeah, of course, they were shocked. They were shocked when this woman entered the house. Oh, yes, they was. Praise God. Kind of remind me of a movie that I saw many years ago. Sidney Poitier, he played in a movie a long time ago entitled Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Now, this woman here, she's well known. She's a well-known sinner. And shall we say, a used-to-be sinner. Now, they're not aware of this. Christ knows it. Amen. She is despised by the good citizens of the city. What they did know is that she is a changed woman now. They didn't know that. She has at some time, though not recorded, we don't find it in the Bible, but at some time or another, she came into contact with Christ. I don't know whether he directly spoke with her or whether she heard him from a distance as he preached the gospel. But nevertheless, she was a changed woman. Praise God. Her life had been changed. She was no longer a prostitute. She was no longer an immoral person anymore. Praise God. She had been touched by the Lord. Because now they didn't know it. Christ knew it. Christ, by his spirit, had summoned her, amen, to come. Praise God. So she shows up now. She shows up, this woman, this used to be prostitute. She shows up at Simon's house with an expensive box filled with perfume, knowing that she would be criticized. Listen to me now. She knew that. She knew she would not be welcome. She would be criticized, possibly excluded from the premises. She knew that. But this didn't stop her. Praise God. She had been forgiven. She had been forgiven. She had tasted of Christ's love. And what we're about to witness here today, praise God, is love in action. You say you love. See, love is more than what you say it is. Love is what you do. It's what you do. It's what you do, not just what you say. But we about to witness now love in action here. A prostitute changed into a believer. A prostitute changed into a Christian. Paying right now a portion of her debt of love for her forgiveness. She's going to pay right in front of this audience here. Even in this hostile environment. Again, let me say this again now. It is a debt of love that we must all pay. Not just this woman. You got to pay it. Praise God. I have already paid mine, but some of you others have paid. But now some, you haven't paid your debt yet. Outstanding debt is what's upon your record right now in heaven. But now let's look at our Father then. Go back. Let's look at Luke at 7, and we're going to go to the next verse. Look at verse 38 there. Verse number 38 there. And it says there, and she stood, now the woman entered in, she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears. And then wiped them, she washed first, then she wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now again, exactly how, when, where, this woman came into contact with Jesus. Praise God, I don't know. The Bible don't tell us specifically, but we know that something has happened to her. It's plain to see that. She has repented of her sins. And in Christ, she had found forgiveness. She had found freedom in Christ from her wretched lifestyle that she had been living. Sure she did. And now, here she is. She's at the Savior's feet. The audience of naysayers all around. Oh, they are amazed at what's going on here right now. But she's at his feet with her perfume, about to anoint the Savior's feet. But all of a sudden, she's overcome. Praise God. She's overcome with a spontaneous outburst of emotions and love for the Lord. Praise God, like a flood, her tears began to fall upon his dusty feet. And she has no towel. She has no towel wherewith to wipe them. What is she going to do? Watch this now. So she improvised. What she do? What'd she do? She let down her hair. She unrolled her hair and let it down, let it fall down to her shoulders and down to his feet there, and she used her hair as a towel. She was not the least bit ashamed, praise God, for her sins had been forgiven her. And she had been liberated, praise God, from the lifestyle, that lifestyle of prostitution the Lord had set her free. Praise God. And in doing this, she was paying a debt of love that she owed the Lord. That's why she was there. She was there to pay a debt of love. The Lord had shown up on her. I've been shown to her. And she owed the Lord this. And not only that, but you and me, we owe the Lord a debt of love. Praise God. And you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay. And you need to pay in this life. Don't wait till this life is over before you pay this debt. But each one of us, every one of us, praise God, we're going to have to pay the debt one day. But now, look, let's go back to this woman. Now, after washing his feet with her hair, she commenced to kiss his feet and anointed them with that very expensive perfume she had brought there. Prophet Isaiah, he spoke of Christ's beautiful feet. He captured those feet a long time ago, maybe 600-700 years before Christ even come to earth. He captured the beautiful feet of Christ hundreds of years or so. But now you can see that in Isaiah 52. Write it down or look with me, Isaiah 52 and 7. Listen at the prophet Isaiah as he talked about the feet of Christ. Oh boy, and I'm sure he's relating to the tension that was upon his feet at this time here. Isaiah 52 and 7. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that said unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Oh boy, that's beautiful, isn't it? That's what Isaiah said. He says here, again, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that brings good tidings. Is that what Christ came? He came to bring tidings, right? Good tidings that publish peace. Then he can bring the bank peace. He called him, he's the Prince of Peace. My peace I give to you. He said, not as the world gives, let not your heart be troubled. He said, he's the one that brings good tidings of the good things that publish salvation. And we know that's what Christ came. He came, he shall save us from our sins. He is our salvation. Praise God. But now, this form of prostitute, praise God, she's in the very act here of kissing and anointing his feet. An expression of her love and her gratitude to the Lord for what he had done for her. Amen. He rescued her. Praise God. He rescued her from hell, from a life of sin. Praise God. And some of us that are saved and should have been delivered by the power of God, we know exactly how she felt. Praise God. Unashamedly, she responded, praise God, in this low, humble manner. There have been many times in my life since the Lord saved me, yes, that I've been meditating on the goodness of the Lord, how God saved me, how God delivered me. Praise God. I said that many, many times. I thought about it and sit down and tears began to swell in my eyes. I began to cry. Amen. Praise God. Thinking of how he forgave me. He forgave me. He rescued me from a burning hell. Praise God. You can't help but to get tears in your eyes if you sit down and meditate. And I believe that most all believers, at some time or another, you can identify with this woman. And yes, I know you can, huh? Praise God. This emotional outburst that came forth from her, praise God, I know most every saved person can identify with this. And I believe, praise God, that this is one of the reasons why the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. He gave us the Lord's Supper. Praise God. To keep our heart from getting cold, to stir. Do this in remembrance of me. To keep us from getting cold in our hearts. Praise God. We see the fire needs to stay. Keep on burning. Praise God. God don't want no lukewarm Christians. Praise God. We need to be hot for the Lord all the time. Amen. Praise God. Every now and then, I believe believers when we sit down and just take inventory of our lives and see how far the Lord has brought us, we can't help but get misty-eyed. We can't help it, amen. When we think of his goodness, when we think of God's love, how he loved me and sacrificed himself for me. Praise God. Oh, boy. Me and you, that we might be saved. Now, paying our debt of love to Christ. That's what we're talking about now. Paying our debt of love to Christ. That's what this woman was doing. Sometimes it calls for us to be courageous, though. Sometimes you got to be courageous, like this woman. Praise God. This woman, praise God, not caring what others may say or what others may think about us. 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. That's what they think of us. You know, most of the people of the world, they think we're a little bit off track, you know. Praise God. That's just par for the course, though. Amen. Yeah, this is exactly what they think. But now Jeremiah, the prophet, says we shouldn't let these things bother us. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. Jeremiah 1 and 8. Well, listen to what the Lord said through Jeremiah. He said, be not afraid of their faces. When the people make ugly face, when they look at us and they frown and they wonder what kind of idiot are they. And Jeremiah said, be not afraid of their faces. For the Lord said, I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Don't get caught up in the frowns of that people. This woman didn't care about them. She didn't care one iota about the faces of these people. She came to pay a debt of love to the Lord. Amen. And she wasn't going to be deterred. Praise God. She wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. She was there to pay her debt of love to the Lord. Amen. Now, let us briefly look at this Pharisee's attitude. You know, now, we're going to look at his attitude now. We just describe what the woman, how she approached these naysayers and how she carried her business through and just lavished her love upon Christ. Now, but now, what about this Pharisee's attitude toward Christ and to the woman, too? Praise God. Now, and as we're going to get ready to close out this part one, and I don't want to end into part two because we're going to deal with a parable that's going to bring this subject even clearer to us now. But now, as we get ready to close this part one, let's look at Luke 7, though. Now, we're going to go back to Luke 7 and go get 39. Get 39. Verse number 39. And it reads thusly, now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden Christ, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, within himself. Now, he is the Pharisee. He's talking to himself. This man, if he were a real prophet, he says, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. He's talking to himself. Now, this is a great contrast. There's a great contrast here between her attitude in his attitude. See, now, in the Pharisees, this religious man, pseudo-religious man, his eyes, this woman was just an uninvited guest. That's all she was to him. Praise God. A prostitute at that. A whore. And under his breath. Now, he's not talking out loud. Because now God can hear. God, the Lord hears like that. He's not talking out loud. He's talking to himself. And he said, now, if Jesus really was a prophet, if this man was who all he say he is, he would know in what manner of woman this is. What manner of woman this is here. And he would not have allowed her to even touch him. But praise God. He did know. He had saved her. Praise God. He had cleansed her. He had delivered her. He had turned her life completely around. Praise God. And she just dropped in and said, thank you, Lord. That's all she did. She didn't care about who was there. All them muckety mucks and all them bougies and big shots, religious folk. It didn't matter to her. Praise God. She had to say, Lord, thank you. She came to say, thank you, Lord, in the presence of these dignified, self-righteous, religious hypocrites. Okay, it don't matter to her, and it shouldn't matter to her, us. Praise God. We know how people feel about us, but it don't matter. Praise God. We're going to praise him. I owe a debt of love to Christ, and I'm going to pay it. I'm paying the rent every day. Praise God, I'll tell the world how great my God is. But now, deep down inside, this Pharisee, he was kind of gloating about this. He's happy now because this was the proof that to him and his friends here that they needed to, that Jesus needed to see that, to know that Jesus was not a prophet, because in their opinion, he was unaware of this woman and who she was. So they thought now. And the only reason that Simon had invited the Lord to his house was to discredit him, to find something to accuse him in the presence of his friends. He wanted to show out, show how big a man he was. But now, in our second part of this series, Christ is going to use a parable. He's going to go into a parable, praise God, to further show the contrast between the attitude of a saved person toward himself and the attitude of a pseudo-religious person, praise God, toward him. Now, if you are saved today, then you realize, every saved person realize that we owe a debt of love to Christ. We do. We owe a debt of love to Christ. And the debt must be paid in full, before this life is over. Praise God. And it is all accomplished easily when we accept Christ, when we accept his blood that was shed on the cross as a payment for our sin. When we accept the Lord as our Savior, God will blank out your debt. Praise God. And praise God, the love of God will be shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But you got to first trust him. You got to trust him. Now, have you trusted Christ today? That's the question. Have you trusted Christ today for your salvation, for your peace, for your everything, for your eternal destiny? Have you accepted Christ today? If not now, the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Praise God. And the moment you hear my voice, he said, harden not your heart. God is offering to you today, you, whoever you are, you know, whoever God has drawn to hear this word today, this word is for you. Praise God. Today is your day to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. The Bible said, if you'll only ask, you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. The Lord is waiting on you. I stand at the door and knock. If you open up, Christ said, open up, I'll come in. Praise God, we'll have a fellowship together, and I will lavish my love upon you. Praise God, I'll allow you to bring that love and lavish that love right back upon me. Praise God. But Christ says, today is your day today. Praise God, you have to make a decision. Praise God, the Lord is waiting on you. Let's bow here. Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Once again, Lord, to come and share your word today. Lord, I've done and said what you have put into my heart today. Now, Lord, by your Spirit, I pray that you will take your word, Father, and you would burn this word into the hearts of your people, Lord. That person, Father, that has been holding out, Lord, and you've been speaking to them over and over again. Now, Lord, make them willing in the day of your power. Today, let it be the day, Father, that they yield themselves to you. And Lord God, I'll be mindful, Lord, to give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Now, this is part one. Now, part two, tomorrow, God's will, we're going to go into that parable. Christ's going to go into a parable now. He's fixing to really deal with this self-righteous religious man and show him the contrast between a religious person and a true born-again Christian. Praise God. But now, until that time, if you like this video, go over there and hit that like button over there. And then, praise God, go back and hit the subscribe button. And when we come again on tomorrow, praise God, I'll bring you part two, another word, praise God, on how that we owe a debt of love to Christ, and we got to pay up, and we got to pay up on this side of Mount Zion. Praise God. Now, I want to make this plain that we are also on other networks besides YouTube. We're also on Facebook and we're on Sermon Audio. Praise God. So you can find most of our material is on Sermon Audio because we've been on there for a number of years. We just recently come on YouTube and Facebook. But now you can find over 400, probably 4.5 to 500 of our messages on the Sermon Audio. Sermon Audio, James Dansby. And by not just by me, but all our ministers. We have a number of ministers at church there, and we all minister and we all preach. So you get a variety of words from the Lord. So tune in. Praise God. Tune in and you be blessed. Praise God. And until tomorrow, praise God, I say God bless you and may God keep you. That is my prayer. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.